We bring the greetings of the saints of Baldwin, New York, to you there, Saints here. It's a privilege for us, again, to be with you. We value these occasions year after year. Certainly reminded in regard to the matter of June, that is, he writes concerning the importance of contending for the faith, as opposed to concerning the great salvation, reminds us of how the Spirit of God directs his servant. The Apostle Paul had already written concerning salvation, the great salvation. The book of Romans was there. And God had, in the Apostle Paul, the mind exercised for the development of the truth of the great salvation. It was left to the Apostle. So here is Jude, directed by the Spirit of God to write otherwise, to write concerning the importance of contending for the faith. I wonder if we might share something additional in the Word of God. In the book of Exodus, chapter 15, in just one verse, Exodus 15, verse 27. And they came to Elim, and 12 springs of water were there, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. I felt impressed with this, as I think of our coming together for these 3 days of conference, and the brethren, the dear brethren here in Jamaica, calling the conference year after year. And I was challenged at the fact that when we call a conference, it should never be with the view of simply being repetitious. Well, you know, it's October, so let's have the conference. Or, as in the case of the many other conferences we attend in the northeast of the United States, it's time, so let's have a conference, without any sense of deep exercise about the occasion and whether or not even the Lord wants us to have a conference this year. And I'm not saying that to discourage my dear brethren, not in the least, because this is a wonderful occasion. Just the mere fact of coming together with the brethren is an excitement that should develop in the souls of the saints. So certainly conferences are important, and we're not going to shortchange ourselves, or most of all shortchange the Lord, the saints coming together. But I just feel that it's essential that when we have exercises, that there is an impression, a definite impression, that there will be something from God for the people of God. And that there will be something also for the refreshment of the heart of divine persons. Because that should be the ultimate goal. That out of our coming together and enjoying the things together, there will be something for the heart of divine persons. You remember the Lord Jesus coming in after his resurrection, Luke 24. Having walked the two on the road to Emmaus, he joins the company and he says to them, "Have ye anything to eat?" But he's looking that there will be something among the people of God for the delight and the refreshment of his heart. And there was given to him a piece of broiled fish and a honey. and delightful to his heart among his people. So there should always be that from us. Not just what we get, but let's think of what there is for the delight and pleasure and satisfaction of the heart of divine persons. So therefore, coming together, there should be the objective, as we saw in this verse, for the matter of refreshment and comfort. Those are the two things that come out in the 12 wells and the 70 palm trees. But the prerequisite to this verse is this, that the people of God had just come over the Red Sea. And there was a victorious response having come over the Red Sea. Miriam joined, or the women joined with Miriam, the prophetess, and the tambours, and there was a joyous response. If you go through the song itself, it's a wonderful testimony to the greatness of God and the fact that God was going to now tabernacle among his people. He's going to find a company in which he's going to be able to rest. God is going to rest in his people. They had come to the mountain of his inheritance, the sanctuary of the Lord, that thy hands had prepared. It's for himself. And so they had come, and now they are rejoicing, but immediately thereafter, in the wilderness of Shur, there's no water. There is no water. They've just been singing of the greatness of God and his divine purpose, which he is actuating among his people, and then all of a sudden they come to a halt. No water. Nothing for refreshment. And it says, they then eventually came to an area called Mara, where after 3 days in the wilderness, having found no water, they come to Mara, and it says there, they could not drink the waters of Mara because they were bitter. Can you imagine what it is for a thirsty soul? I'm speaking literally now, thirsty, parched individual in a wilderness setting and looking for water, finding none, and eventually finding some and discovering that it is bitter. What a disappointment. Thirsty, you're parched and wanting refreshment, finding water, and it's bitter. They could not drink it. And what do? They murmur. Isn't that the characteristic feature of us? When we are discontented, and you probably mentioned the matter of contention in Jude, here it's that contention that is bitter. It is the engaging in discourse that indicates absolute dissatisfaction of heart. They are rebelling against God, who had just brought them through the Red Sea, and is going to take them through the wilderness experience and bring them into the land, because that's what he promised, and we have a whole pictorial view of it in Deuteronomy chapter 8. But it says they murmur. And you know, our murmurings do not hinder the operatives of God. Not in the least. He has a right, doesn't he, to withhold when we murmur. But his grace, the goodness and graciousness of himself, provides largely and richly even when we have this disposition of murmuring. He provides a tree. He shows them wood. He says, he ensured to him, Moses, wood, and said to him, cast it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. There's a hymn, 275, I think, speaking of the bitter waters that have been made sweet by the death of Christ. Would his humanity, and would certainly the truth of his death, that sweetens every bitter cup. Wonderful indeed to appreciate that. But then he says to them now, if you will diligently hearken to me from here on in, I will not put any of the diseases of Egypt upon you. God is gracious, he says. Have you learned your lesson that you should not have murmured, that there is the sweetness of Calvary's experience that comes to us in the wood, that is able to give us that which will delight our hearts? He says, now that I've shown you that, if you maintain a diligent heart, if you are hearkened, if you hearken to me, if there is the heart of obedience, the willingness to incline your ears to my commandments, to do what is right, I will put none of the Egyptian diseases upon you. This is the grace of God, magnified in a marvelous way, in that he's providing richly for them to see them through the wilderness experience without the diseases of Egypt upon them. But they forfeited that because they continued in the spirit of murmuring and disobedience. But he says, the one who heals is the one who will certainly sustain and support you. And then they come to Elam, and this is the verse I want to just focus on for a minute or two more before we close. They come to Elam. Elam is not Canaan. Not in the least. Elam is a part of the wilderness experience. But it's a wonderful part of the wilderness experience because it brings us to know the sufficiency that there is for us in the wilderness in spite of the abnormal conditions of the wilderness. Our Elims are wonderful places. I believe this setting this weekend should be an Elim for us. Elims are good places in the wilderness experience. Why should we thirst, says the hymn writer, for aught below, whilst there's fullness there in Christ? In the Elim experience, there is a fullness, amply so, provided for to meet the condition of things, so that the people of God do not have to go on in a spirit of murmuring, but there should be a spirit of contentment. Elam should afford that. What did we find at Elam? We found 12 and 70. 12 springing wells and 70 palm trees. What place? Place of delight. The 12 and 70 would speak to us of ministry. You remember, there were 12 apostles in Luke 7, 12 disciples, and then there were an additional in chapter 10, 70 disciples chosen. 12 and 70. Speaking to us of ministry. Ministry that is available to the people of God for several things. But most importantly, to realize that the Lord Jesus has amply provided for in the 12 and 70 that which is capable and competent to meet the needs of the people of God. That's what ministry is intended for. Ministry, as Brother Vin just pointed out, is not intended to elevate the minister or to bring some sense of notoriety to the minister, but ministry has in view the pointing of the heart back to Christ. And that is what is intended in this matter of the 12 and 70. And in what way is this so? Well, there were 12 wells. That's an ample supply of refreshment. The people of God need the 12 wells. It's administered to us in the number 12, it's administration. It's administered to us in the energy of the Spirit of God, because water here sets before us the active agency of the Spirit of God, capable and competent to bring in what is delightful to the people of God in respect of Christ. How important it is that when we stand to minister, that we have refreshment for the saints of God. Very often we talk about warming things over. You know, something I've gotten who knows how long ago, and I keep using it and using it and using it. And after a while, the saints of God wonder as to the extent of my enjoyment in the spiritual realm, because all they get is the same thing over. I want to point out this, that we need to be persons who bring refreshment to the people of God. Things old, yes, things new as well, but it should be in the freshness of the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God will take what has been spoken several times over, he will take it afresh this evening and delight the hearts of the people of God just as though we never heard it before. That's how the Spirit of God operates in the matter of refreshment. The people of God need to be refreshed. We need, when we leave here, to feel a sense of having been under the ministry of the Spirit of God, who delights to do what? To bring Christ into view. Because that's the objective of the Spirit of God. It says in John's Gospel, he does not speak of himself, nor does he speak from himself, but he speaks of another. He is here to bring Christ into view. And he loves to elevate Christ before our hearts, so that there is the matter of the power of attraction to Christ as the response of having set Christ before us. And so that's the predominant desire of the Spirit of God, that he might refresh the people of God. Oh, that this weekend there will be the Spirit's activity to refresh the people of God. You know, we could hinder that. We could hinder that. May God enable us not to hinder such, but to foster such. Give the Spirit of God the opportunity to do as he so desires, to bring in what is of Christ. He who knows the depth of God, desire the depths of God, desires to bring us into the truth of the risen and glorified man on high. I think of John 17, where the Lord Jesus speaks of sanctifying himself on high. Why did he do that? He set himself apart on high so that the Spirit of God might be able to bring in the truth of himself and leave an impress upon the hearts of his people. So 12 springing wells. Wonderful, isn't it? Ample supply so that you and I can drink out the same this weekend. And always, but in a special regard for this weekend's exercises, drinking in of the Spirit of God and being brought into the freshness and the delight of Christ as he presents him to us. But not only were there 12 springing wells, there were 70 palm trees. 70 palm trees. If you needed shade and comfort and encouragement and consolation, it's found right here in those 70 palm trees. Think of again a hot summer's day. Besides being parched and needing a drink of refreshment, but think also of a hot summer's day, the heat piercing through, and the longing of the heart for a little shade of comfort under a tree. Just to rest for a while. This is what I believe is implied here, that the 70 palm trees would provide the matter provide the matter of comfort and consolation. It will bring in that which is amply so to meet the need at the present moment. Now, harm represents the matter of victory. You remember it was in Kings, not Kings rather, John, Judges. Deborah had her own personal palm tree. In Deborah chapter 5, or rather chapter 4, she dwelt, verse 5, Judges chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. In 5 she said, it says, she dwelt on the palm tree of Deborah. What a wonderful place to be. She's a prophetess, the wife of Abinadab, who judged Israel at that time, and she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah. And earlier, I think, it was Eglon, the Moabite king, who came up against Israel and took possession of the city of palm trees. Unfortunately, we can't afford to give away our palm trees, can we? It brings out the importance of finding victory, yes, but also finding a matter of comfort and shade and rest in conditions like these that we journey through the wilderness. Here it is. God graciously provided 70 of them. 12 springs, 70 palm trees. May we know what it is to enjoy a measure of that comfort and rest, a measure of the refreshing that comes from the springs, the measure of victory that comes from the palm trees. May we know somewhat about it. And notice what it says as it closes the verse. They encamped there. It seems to me that the people of God found delight in having the 12 wells and the 70 palm trees. There was an excitement in their souls about the richness of divine provision, the gracious hand of God in meeting their murmuring. They delighted in that. They rested at that spot where the waters were flowing abundantly and the shade and comfort was adequately supplied to meet their need. May we find this weekend refreshment at the 12 spring wells. May we find shade and comfort and victory under the 70 palm trees, so that as we leave here, we might be able to delight in the fact of the freshness of the depths of Christ that have been made known to us again, that would spur us on in the desire to be more faithful to Him and to be